In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Now, we're continuing in our studies on the book of Exodus, and we've just begun Exodus chapter 2. Let me read verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Now, we discover that Moses' parents were both Levites. But if you dig a little bit deeper into the family tree, you find out some very interesting things about mom and dad. Moses' mom, Jochebed, is Levi's daughter. So that means you have Levi. Levi's dad was Jacob. So this is really the third generation. You have Jacob, Levi, Jochebed. She ends up marrying her brother's son. That is her nephew. Okay, so that means Levi had another child. That child was Jochebed's brother. That brother had a child, and Jochebed married that. Today, this is known as an avunculate marriage and is presently illegal in our country. So this tells us that Moses is pretty unique in this way. And so technically, Moses would be the grandson and the great-grandson of Levi. Kind of interesting on that. Now, Stephen in Acts chapter 7 gives us some additional insights on what this expression means, beautiful child. Let me read Acts chapter 7, verse 19. This man, this is Pharaoh, dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in the father's house for 3 months. That's the phrase, well-pleasing to God. So this beautiful child, well-pleasing to God, is to get at this concept that somehow the parents recognized that Moses was favored by God, that he was destined for something great. The author of Hebrew reveals the parents' faith. Hebrews 11:23 tells us, by faith, when he was born, was in 3 months by his parents. And I like the fact that the author of Hebrews brings in both mom and dad. Both parents were God-fearing believers who were trying to protect Moses. And the verse goes on to say, because they saw he was a beautiful child and that they were not afraid of the king's commands. That gives you even greater insight to their courage in the Lord, knowing what the price would be should the Egyptians find out that their baby boy is still alive. Now, the word hid implies hiding something of great value, like a treasure. And 3 months, in other words, they did not obey the government's law, but they did do their best to keep Moses a secret. And this is a good reminder for each of us that as the laws around us change, we first, foremost, have an obligation to God's moral law. We have an obligation to worship him in the ways that he prescribes and describes in the scriptures. And no government has any place nor right to interfere in how we worship our Lord and Savior. And so let's remember that there is a place to submit to government. Let's make sure that we're not rioters and disobedient to the government, because they do bear the sword to punish evil, but also to protect good. Let none of you, as Peter says, to be an evildoer that needs to be punished by the government. Now, the birth order in Moses' family is Miriam first, then Aaron, and then Moses. And as the scripture shows, Aaron is 3 years older than Moses. However, we don't know how old Miriam is compared to Aaron. Exodus 6:20. Now, Amram took for himself Jochebed, his father's sister, as wife, and she bore him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137. Numbers 26:59. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. And to Amram she bore Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. Exodus 7:7, and Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. So that gives you a pretty good feel for the family. So we know Miriam was the oldest, most likely in the family. We assume that because, number one, Miriam was the one who was looking after Moses, as we'll see, as she was placed in the Nile. We don't see Aaron doing that. So most likely Aaron was too young, and therefore Miriam would be the oldest one. Now, the decree by Pharaoh, like I said, must have been passed after the birth of Aaron. Now, let's talk about the next 3 to 5 years. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Now, this word ark is the exact same word for Noah's ark. So that's just a way of scripture by using the same word to show about this ark, to connect the theme here. And that theme is an ark is a place of protection and also a picture of deliverance. Now, Noah and Moses comparison is pretty neat. Both were born to deliver God's people. Both found God's favor and grace. Both are placed into an ark and both escaped wrath of a form. You know, God's wrath in the case of Noah and Pharaoh's wrath in the case of Moses. Both would lead the promised people from a land of destruction to a land of promise to be fruitful and multiply. Pretty neat. Now, Jochebed lovingly protects Moses, carefully prepares his ark with great skill and craftsmanship, and places him in safe waters by the river's bank. His sister, Miriam, clearly knew what was going on and assisted in ensuring the safe passage of Moses. One might speculate that even the timing of this was to coincide with Pharaoh's daughter being in the Nile. This was an act of faith and was a significant risk since Pharaoh himself wanted all the male babies killed. This is very similar to Hannah in 1 Samuel 1:11. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life and no razor shall come upon his head." And so I think this Jochebed, Moses' mom, is very similar in faith to Hannah. The courage to give up your very son for God. And that's exactly what Jochebed was doing. She was in an impossible situation. She hid Moses for 3 months, but at some point they knew that they couldn't keep it a secret anymore. And so now she entrusts God, preparing this ark of safety, involving her daughter Miriam to watch as this happens. And hopefully, by God's grace, Moses would be spared. This is an amazing godly woman. Now, verse 5 goes on to say, "Then the daughters of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Now, this is a beautiful picture of the providence of God. The right time, the right place, the right people. The faithful prayers of the believers. And God hears them and he reveals his providential plan through these circumstances. And let's remember that these are part of Pharaoh's kingdom. They knew about this decree. And yet, in all the circumstances, we see this compassion. And that word compassion is the kind of pity that spares. This word is different from God's compassion. In fact, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 uses a different word. This act of kindness is actually the first expression by an Egyptian of compassion towards the Israelites that's mentioned in scriptures. You know, Matthew 24, 12 gives us a contrast to this. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And so that's the opposite of the compassion that Pharaoh's daughter placed in and showed Moses. Now, Moses' cry, this is kind of fascinating because it's the only example in the Old Testament of a baby crying. And it's important part of the story because, again, in God's providence, this cry before Pharaoh's daughter helped her to move to compassion towards Moses. And the Hebrew children, this is one of the Hebrew male babies. Since this is direct speech, this is more of an exclamation of great emotion, especially in the light of the context. See, we read these passages, and sometimes we just read them as kind of, you know, no emotions. But you've got to understand, this is a tense moment. This is a compassionate moment. Moses is crying, and Pharaoh's daughter is looking at this beautiful baby. God is moving in providence. And so when she says this is one of the male babies, she's saying this is one of the male babies that the mother gave up, and that this is one of the male babies that survived and did not drown. Don't be shocked. Don't look at unbelievers as unfeeling and unemotional people. They're people just like you and I, and though they may not know the love of Christ, they can feel deeply. And we need to recognize that and not look at other people because they're unbelievers in an alien way. This is a normal, healthy, good response to a very tragic, could have been potentially tragic situation. Now we come to verse 7. Then his sister, now this is interesting because we're talking about Moses here. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. I want you to notice how everything is now being centered in the text around Moses. Everyone is being referenced in their relationship to Moses. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child, that's Moses' mom, and nursed him. And the child grew, and she, Jochebed, brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he, Moses, became her son. That's Pharaoh's daughter's son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now, this is amazing. I don't want you to miss this, but notice who all the heroes in this story are. It's the women. Note the significant roles of each woman involved in the deliverance of Moses. The midwives, Jochebed, Miriam, Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter's maidservant. Do not underestimate the role that God has placed you in, especially if you're a lady. God can use you in a mighty way. And the difference here is to remember that God can use anyone to accomplish his purposes. Each one of us can be used. Note also that Pharaoh most likely had more than one daughter. Ramses had nearly five dozen daughters. Now we need to wrap up this time, and we're going to pick up our next session in Exodus chapter 2. But as you think about Moses and the role of women here, this is a great reminder that God uses everyone to accomplish his purposes. But make sure you're asking God to be used, and make sure you're alert to be used. Don't wait for someone to ask you to do something. Take the initiative. Show compassion. Boy, oh boy, does this world need compassion, especially the compassion of those who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, if you're interested in our show notes, email me at wfl@brooksidebc.org. And until next time, stay faithful and stay alert to do God's will.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.